Father, I thank you for this morning that we set apart to worship you. I thank you for each person you brought here this morning, that they're not here by accident, that you have a plan for each one of our lives. And I pray that you would speak volumes to us through your word. Let us be attentive to your word, not the words of James, but your word. Speak to our spirits. Lord, change our hearts. Let us be hyper-focused on you. Use this time effectively for recreating or creating us to be those you created us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this sermon is what I hope is going to be a springboard to the gifts that have been given to us to impact the world we live in and to draw others to Christ. And why are you here this morning? I'm hoping it's because you love the Lord, because you want to learn more about Him so that you can be equipped to tell someone. Yes, sell. What we're selling here is free. So you can tell someone about Jesus and His love. So I want to share, if you have your Bibles or your phone, if you turn to Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read the first 11 verses just to prime the pump. I'm going to focus on one verse, but I want to set the stage. So listen to these words of Paul in Romans 12, beginning at verse 1. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Amen. We'll see you next week. Paul, thanks for being here to encourage us. Yeah, if you take your chairs. Yeah. All right, I'm just kidding. There's so much more. I'm glad you're attentive. What is it that drives someone to serve the Lord? Why do we want to serve our Lord? My thinking is we want to offer ourselves to God because of His mercy. Did you hear that? Because of His mercy. When we recognize what God has done for us, through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And I'm asking us to never forget the cross. It's going to be the theme throughout the year. The natural response is to give ourselves completely to Him. To live our lives in total praise and service to Him. Jesus is the giver of grace. The one who raises the dead to life, spiritually speaking. And the one who saves us. Have you thought about that? If we do not recognize that we are sinners and that sin has consequences that lead to death, and learn to stand on the truth and the power of God's word, where it says, but while we were still sinners, While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's to say, Christ died for you and for me. If we don't completely understand that He took our place in taking upon Himself the consequences and the punishment for my sin and for your sin, that we can stand on the words that say, now there is no condemnation for us. Amen. We're going to find ourselves in a bad place when we come to the end of our lives. We need to understand this and know this. Do you realize we have been saved from the fires of hell, which is utter and complete separation from God? That is going to burn within you for eternity. Because one day we will stand before Jesus. We will say, Jesus is Lord. And we're either going to hear words that say, come in, well done. Or we're going to hear the words, depart from me, I know you not. Destined to hell, and you're going to say, I know Jesus, I know loved me, and will have no access to Him. That, my friend, is hell. When we accept Christ, we are elevated to the presence of God. So you choose this morning. You want to spend eternity in heaven or in hell? You know, I said a couple weeks ago, nobody chooses to be cursed. No, they choose life and to be blessed, right? The choice is ours. We must never forget that grace is God's unmerited favor that God has lavished onto us through the finished work of His Son on the cross. This is why I'm begging you not to forget the cross, to walk in the power that it holds. Mercy is Him holding back the wrath that we so rightly deserve. We walk through this life in grace and mercy. Yes? Yes. This should be motivation enough for us to give our whole selves to the service of the Lord, to service of God. If reflecting on God's mercy doesn't move us to serve Him, then we're in trouble. Think of this. Where would we be without God's love? There are people that don't know about God's love. Where would we be without God's presence in our lives? Do you call on Him every day? I was talking to someone on the movie night, and this person was saying, yeah, I couldn't find my keys, so I prayed, Lord, help me find the keys. And he gave another testimony about how he couldn't find the cell phone. He said, Lord, help me. Why would we leave that on the table? We have power and authority in Jesus' name. What kind of hope would we have without Him? Well, ask the people that don't know Jesus. Ask yourself if you don't know Jesus, because you're experiencing it. Last week we talked about people who truly love God and pursue a relationship with Jesus, His Son. They do their best to live within God's laws and the direction He has set in place for our lives. We're not going to change God's mind. He has a plan for our life. People that truly love the Lord keep Christ at the center of their life. Here in Romans 12, Paul is talking about people who are motivated to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. I'm all in, Jesus. Passionate in their service to the Lord because of what He's done. Do you realize what He's done? Do you realize what He endured for you? And for me, man, He hung there, and He bled out, and He died for me. Paul says in verse 1, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Did you come this morning to worship the Lord? We worship him in prayer. We worship him with our tithes. We worship him with our song. We worship him when we learn and put into practice. We do this every day of the week, don't we, church? Not just for 40 minutes on Sunday morning. He goes on to tell us not to be conformed to this age, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The motivation to serve the Lord is to focus on the mercies of God. That's the driving force, which Paul lays out in chapters 1 through 11 of the book of Romans. And as is my custom, I will challenge you and invite you to read those 11 chapters this week.
11 chapters, James, you're nuts.
Yeah, that's about 2 a day. You can do it. It's good for your soul. Check it out. Here in chapter 12 at verse 11, this is my verse for the day. Paul shows us how to serve the Lord. He's saying, never be lacking in zeal. You got your phone there? Scroll to it. Never be lacking in zeal. You got your Bible there? Flip to the page. Scratch a line under it. Never be lacking in zeal. The New American Standard says, not lagging behind in diligence. And scholars tell us that lagging behind translates a word in the Greek that means lazy. Jesus uses the same word in Matthew 25 when he describes that lazy servant that received an inheritance from God and what? It was too much work to take care of it, to run it down to the bank, so he buries it in the ground. You know, the lesson to be learned here is never put convenience above the master's plan. It's too much for me to do that. I'm too tired. If God has called you to do something or gifted you to do something, do it. This word is also used in Proverbs 6, verses 6 and 9 to describe the sluggard. The one who needs to go to the ant and consider how it works diligently through the summer so it can eat through the winter. I don't know about you, but I have no desire to be associated with lagging behind, a wicked servant, a sluggard, or lacking in zeal when it comes to serving the Lord. I'm excited. Let's follow the counsel of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We offer the same concept in our bulletin every week with Galatians 6:9. Let's not lose heart in doing good. Because we'll reap a harvest if we don't grow weary, if we don't give up. In other words, if we're not lazy. Be diligent in serving the Lord. So I ask, do you work hard at serving the Lord? I don't know what it is to serve the Lord. We're going to learn that next week. Plan to be here. Bring two friends. Maybe you're saying, I work hard all day just to earn a living. There's nothing left of me at the end of the day to serve the Lord. Boy, do I know that feeling. But can I offer this redirect of that way of thinking? There's some counsel that's really valuable found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Paul writes, whatever you do, do your work heartily. As for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive a reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ in whom you serve. In other words, when people come to you at work and they're going, what is your problem, dude? Why do you work like this? You can say with confidence, see that guy over there? Or that girl over there? She signs my check. But I work for the Lord. Everything we do, Paul's writing to slaves. They got menial tasks that they're ordered to do. They don't get to choose It's their job. Your mindset should be that while you're at work, you're serving the Lord. And you work in such a way that brings honor to Him. And when you do, your boss is going to see that. And he's going to maybe give you a raise. Maybe not fire you over the other guy. It's always our benefit to serve the Lord with our whole heart. Let me offer a word of caution, though. We need to evaluate how much time we're going to commit to. Because there was a season in my life where it was all about you, Jesus. Man, I lived and breathed Jesus. And my wife and my son suffered for it. You can be a deacon too much. You can be a minister too much. You can be about helping everybody but your family too much. You also have to watch out because you may not be effective in your service to the Lord because you're burned out. When Tracy and I were in ministry full-time with Chalk Talk, we purposed not to be out of the church more than 3 times a month. Because there was a season where we were on. And we recognized we're not being fed. We're walking around not in a good way. When you do what God has gifted you to do and the power that He supplies, it energizes you. We finished praying here this morning and said, let's go worship the Lord. It's like, man, I'm fueled up. When you serve the Lord, you might be tired, but you will be deeply satisfied. Romans 12:11 tells us to be fervent in spirit as you serve the Lord. But what does that mean? Fervent. Commentaries tell us that the word translated fervent literally means to boil. J.C. Riley, describes this godly zeal as a new birth. He says, zeal in religion is a burning desire to please God, to do His will, and to advance His glory in the world in every possible way. Is that you? Could verse 11 of chapter 12 be used to describe you as someone not lagging behind, diligent and fervent, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Well, I hope that describes me. Man, that dude's nuts. I'd be so proud. I like the way the NLT reads, the New Living Translation. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. That's a really good literal translation. Paul isn't describing someone who needs to have their arm twisted to volunteer for ministry or pursue somebody until they are just feeling so guilty they can't figure out a way to get away from your persistence. You just keep pounding them down. They finally say grudgingly, okay, I'll serve the cookies at BBS or teach Sunday school or whatever the case may be. I'm thinking Paul is talking about those who are boiling over with zeal to the point where they probably need to be reined in, like, whoa, James, slow down. Redirect your efforts. Your tendency is to get involved in too many or every opportunity to serve the Lord that comes along. I've been there. You may be thinking, well, James, that's fine for you. But I'm not that type of person. I'm laid back. I mean, fervent in spirit. What you're describing isn't me. Well, it isn't a matter of personality types. It's a matter of passion. What gets you excited? What gets you excited? Birds? Flowers? Food? I'm going to church, man. Good Methodist church. Good food. What are you excited about? Sports?
doesn't excite me. You have fun with your pool.
Does music get you excited? Your family? Talking about God? You're passionate about something. If it is sports, then start a softball team at your church and then get area churches involved in that. That's a ministry that's off the chart. If you do it well, before the game you pray. After the game you have fellowship and eat food. And then maybe you'll flourish and have small groups. It begins with what you're passionate about. If it's music, here you go. Get involved in our fledgling coffee house or our hymn sings. Christ's Little Tapahawken Church is creating opportunities, listen, to serve. What a concept. If it's your family, train them in the way they should go. For me, the good news that Christ died for us while we were still sinners gets me excited. And it should get you excited too. The fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus should stir your heart to a boiling point. We want to be a church on fire, not lukewarm. We want to be fervent, boiling over as we serve the Lord. Yes? Come on, Father, blow on these coals and get them hot. Let the many mercies of God that rescued you from condemnation fuel the passion you have for Christ and His kingdom. The last three words of Romans 12, serving the Lord, applies to all believers. Now, if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, this doesn't mean anything to you, nor will it. You will never effectively serve the Lord. You can't. You're spiritually dead. You had no desire for Christ. But every believer is called to serve the Lord. Paul wrote this letter to the entire church at Rome, not just the pastor, not the church leaders. Every part of the body is valuable and useful for the overall function of the body. The church, not the building. The church, the people, the things that are beating with life. Every believer has been given spiritual gifts to using to build the body of Christ. Serving the Lord means that we serve the one who loved us enough, who gave himself while we were still sinners. He's the Lord of glory, who gave up his splendor, robed in splendor. He came a humble human, yucky human, so that we could be brought up to glory. It is a great privilege to serve the Lord. God, my Savior, our Savior, I hope your Savior. It's not a burdensome duty. It's a joy to serve the King of Kings who sacrificed himself to rescue you and me from eternal separation from a holy and loving God. So how do we serve the Lord? Wow! Hey, will you preach next week? What an end. With the gifts he's given us. We serve the Lord by making sure our motivation is right. We are serving the Lord himself. Not ourselves. I serve the Lord because I feel good. I like it when. I've been there too. We don't serve others
I just want you to like me.
We serve the Lord with gladness. We serve Him because of the great mercies toward us found in the gospel. That motivation should move us not to be lazy or complacent or dead. We serve Christ. Serving Christ becomes our passion. We do it fervently. Always remember, you're gifted to serve none other than Jesus Christ Himself. So listen, every eye up here, every eye, you are gifted to serve. Next week, we're going to be looking at what we, spiritual gifts, how they apply to us today so that we can be an active part in enlarging God's kingdom. Y'all in church? You want to be part of this? Because I will tell you the outcome is so worth it. Father, I thank you that you do have a plan for our life. And that you choose to use broken, fallible, upside down, broken people to do great and marvelous things. Father, I pray that you would ignite this church. That you would set it on fire. That we wouldn't be walking in our strength, but only in the strength that comes through you. For that, we give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name. Amen.